Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that's stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hello, everybody. I'm back after a couple of weeks off. But I'll be taking, my surgery was delayed, so I'll be off again. Looks like to me the first 2 weeks or so in July. We'll see. We'll see how things go. However, we have another show, and she's back. Yay! But this is Natalie, also known as StarsCast, and it's really hot here in South Carolina, and I have an awesome guest, and we're going to learn about decoding your emotional blueprint. But before I do that, before I bring her in, I want to let everybody know I will be accepting, submissions, poetry, excerpts, articles, most everything. I mean, I had an article on golf for Mystic Living today, and if you have anything, be sure to send it to me at starscast@mysticlivingtoday.com. Include an image that you own. Don't go taking it off of Google, because that doesn't mean, because it's there, it's going to be yours, because it probably belongs to somebody, so I don't do that. I always check. I'm very careful with that. The magazine has been around since 1999, and I want to protect it. So that's that. I usually send out all of my emails for articles to my regulars, just to remind them, because sometimes you get busy and you say, oh my God, I forgot to write this or I forgot to send this. Well, never fear. Natalie will contact you to remind you. Also, stars with a Z, psychics.com. I'm in the process of trademarking that logo on the site and also the words stars, psychics. I will own that too. And it's very important. I didn't realize this until I talked to the trademark attorney. So we'll be filing the paperwork, and once I do that, it'll be official. Also, I want to tell you about the stars tarot cards. As soon as I get the word from the attorney, I'll be having them printed and for sale. There'll be something on all my sites that I have. I'm going to put it everywhere. My Candy will run with it. She knows how. And speaking of my accounts, even though they were both hacked on Instagram, I have one of them back. And Candy and I, it's great minds work together, and we had so much fun trying to trick things and do things. But nonetheless, I expect an email about the Star Psychics one, and so don't panic. I'll do another video and put it all over so everybody knows. I have people calling, saying this silly ad that's going through, it's not you. You have to remember something. I always do like X's and O's or a pair of hearts. It'll be friendly. It'll be with love. I don't do like, oh, yes, vote for me. Here it is. No, you will never get anything like that from me ever. I'm just too personal, and that's what I do. Everybody knows who Natalie is, and everybody knows that I'm going to be just really sweet and kind like I always am. So without further ado, and I'm going to stop talking, I'm going to bring in my lovely guest. Yes, she has a book called Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint. We're going to talk about that because I want to know how to do this, okay? And so let me bring in Judy Wilkins-Smith. How are you today, Judy?
Hi, Natalie. It's lovely to be with you. I am great. I'm hot like you are sitting down in Texas, but it's lovely.
Yes. Well, like we were talking before, it's better. I came from Michigan, and so it's better than living, knowing ice and snow is going to come, and you don't really have that much of a summer. But here, this is early for us to get these temperatures. Usually we get them in July. So we're
That's about right.
A month ahead. Yeah, so, but you know what that means? It means the ocean's warm. It's getting warmer. And for us down here, it's hurricane season. And so, you know, I watch carefully, and I have a grid that I put up to keep it away from here. And I'm kind of nestled in where I live. I'm about 8 minutes from Savannah, Georgia. So I'm kind of tucked in. Now, at the bottom of the state, but kind of tucked in there, real close to Georgia. So, you know, and we've been lucky so far, and I've been here, let's see, since 2001 we moved here. And so far we had one, had water in my garage, but that's it. Now, you get bad weather there too, though, Judy, right?
We got snowmageddon year before last, and that was awful.
Yep.
Texans don't really know what to do with snow, not my part of Texas anyway. So it was not particularly welcome, I have to say.
No. Well, Michigan's, you know, we have snow plows, we have ice trucks, and, you know, they dealt with it, but I hated it. Oh, my gosh. But anyways, let's start talking about you. Okay, tell me some background about you, because people are going to want to say, well, where did she come from? I mean, I know you told me just how you got started and what made you start writing. I always like to know from the authors, you know, sometimes they come from a family of authors, sometimes not. So give us a little background on Judy.
Oh, well, if we're going to go into what made me write the book, pure pressure. People kept saying to me, write the book, write the book, write the book. And I kept going, I'm not writing a book. Write the book, write the book. So eventually I went, okay, and wrote the book. I'd been teaching it for a long time, well, quite a long time. And people wanted to be able to do it step by step if they weren't at an event with me. How did they do it? And I also wanted to show people that transformation can be deep and incredible. It can also be pretty logical. And it's also not just for the chosen few, it's for the ones who choose it. So that was the basis of the book. The basis of the work was me being born and raised in South Africa, moving across here. My father was killed, and it was a case of write books or go crazy, and I figured that write books was probably the better option. So we went with write books, and I was doing a piece of research and came across this and met somebody who said, come and study with me and I'll help you with a book. So I went and studied with them, but got zero help with a book. But that led into executive coaching. So I coach top executives in Fortune 500 companies around the world, but using this particular approach. And then I also teach this around the world, and I have events around the world so that people can experience what I've written in 3D. And when you experience it in the form of what they call a constellation, which is a 3D representation of your issue, you get this multisensorial embodied experience, which is what we would typically call an aha shift. And it's profound and it's deep, and it shifts many years of suffering or struggling within about an hour or two. So that's a bit of background.
Wow.
The one other thing to know, I guess, is that the work is based on the Zulus, the Zulu tribe in South Africa, which I didn't know at the time I was studying it, but only found out when somebody said to me, well, of course you could do it. You come from South Africa. And then it was even stranger because when I left South Africa, my farewell was given to me by a Zulu gentleman. And he said, you may be leaving us, but you'll find a way to represent us in the world. And I went, yeah. And who knew? Now I do that every day.
Have you been back to Africa?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I go back when I can. It's certainly not what it was when I grew up. But, yes, I do sometimes go.
Okay. So, with your book, okay, say somebody comes to you. How do you start having them work with you and explain the blueprint. Explain, like, say for me, okay, my life right now is totally different than what I had before. When I was growing up, got married, had a son. My husband died. And so now I would assume, and I was just talking to somebody about this, I'm assuming I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, I know I am. Even though when I was young, I wanted to be a doctor. But, okay, so did my blueprint change? I mean, tell me all about it. I'm so curious.
So I don't know. We'd have to sit down and take a history, but here's what I do know. When I sit down with somebody, I ask them, what is it that you want to work on? Where are you stuck? What does that look like? What does it feel like? And then we begin to do what I call dimensionalizing. So we'll identify all the relevant parts of that and how you came to be stuck in that pattern. Where did that pattern come from? Where did it first start? What was happening in your life at the time? And then what we do is we take representatives for each piece of that pattern and we set it up in 3D, in spatial relationship. So I might say, pick someone to represent your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. Now give me a picture of what that looks like if you put them in relationship to one another. And just doing that then allows me to ask questions about, why is this one distant? What's going on with that one? Tell me about this.
Talk
to me about that language that you use. And so we begin to find what your emotional DNA is. Once we know what your emotional DNA is and we look at the events in your life or the lives of those who came before you, we then also know what your emotional blueprint is. What were the events? What were the decisions? What were the choices? What were the thoughts, feelings, and actions? What are the thoughts, feelings, and actions that you think are yours that are not? They don't belong to you. They actually belong to a prior generation. But because they haven't been resolved and because people have been excluded or secrets have been excluded, there isn't peace. And so now it's cycling all the way down to you so that you can take that pattern and you could do something different with it. So it is always a gift. Everything that we think is a train wreck is a pivot to a portal to possibility.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense to me, especially the way my life went and is going right now. I was just talking to somebody about that all of a sudden, and you might be able to tell me what it means, all of a sudden these doors are opening for me, business-wise now I'm saying. Things seem to be going easier. People want to help more than they should. It's kind of like, now I don't have to schmooze them. I can, but I don't have to. And I'm finding that I'm connecting. I believe everything is divine order, okay? So everything, there are no coincidences. This is what's happening now. But you have a choice. You can either accept it or turn your back on it. Or go through the door, as I tell everybody, and see what it's like. If you don't like it, turn around, lock the door, don't go back. But it's a strange pattern for me right now. So do you think that something has changed? I will tell you, my life as a child was not that good. Everybody, a lot of people have said this to me, you should really be a ornery woman because of the things that you didn't have and you were not really guided and all of that. But to me, Judy, it's the higher ups. It's just, I've had visions, I've had things come to me, so I'm just not the regular person, but something must have changed for me. I mean, is that considered a part of my blueprint that I'm not stressed at all?
Right. What's changed for you is what makes up that blueprint as well is your thoughts, feelings, and actions that you teach your brain and your body and believe. Because we're very powerful spell masters. We don't realize that. And when I say that, people look at me and they go, what? I go, yep, think about it. Do you watch horror movies?
Do I? Oh, yes, I love them.
Yeah, well, you're different. Most people do not like them. And so what I say to them is, you may not watch horror movies, but you'll tell yourself horror stories about yourself all day long and believe it. And the minute that you buy what you're selling, it becomes the truth.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's just your truth. What you've done is we have what we call systemic language and systemic sentences. So those are the things that you hear in the family about love, life, leadership, relationships, possibilities, careers, happiness, and you carry those around with you very faithfully even though you may not be aware of it. It's love or money. People who want money are greedy. Leadership is for the chosen few. It's not the truth, but you've made it the truth. So what's happened for you is somewhere inside you, instead of saying, life is a struggle and I don't get much help, you've suddenly started saying, look, people are always around to help me when I need it. This is amazing. And so it's becoming the new truth. You're stocking your library and creating new emotional DNA, which will create a new emotional imprint.
It's true.
So you are
encoding. It's true. You're so right. Because something changed along the way. I started, you know, I mean, I know my purpose. My purpose is to help the world. I mean, I like to bring things to the world, like your beautiful book and, doing a radio show. I mean, I don't know. Candy will tell me she's listening how many I've done. But it's from people all over the world. And so, you know, I gather that information and I store it inside. And now I'm thinking, you know, what else can Natalie do? Well, I'm open to it all, and I'm opening the doors that are coming. And before, 10 years ago, it took me, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 years to go, six or seven years to get back on my feet to be me. I was in the shadow of my husband. I was repressed. So it took all that time, Judy, to realize I'm a person. I mean,
to give yourself permission to have your voice.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. And what really helped was being on the radio, because I didn't want to do it at all. I mean, we used to do topics, and then somebody said, well, why don't you start talking to authors? I mean, you know so many of them. And now what happens, I just get all these, how about doing this one? How about doing, like Angela, you know? And there's many of them. And I don't say no. I'll say, sure, here's the dates available. I never say no.
And that, by the way, is the mark of a winner. A winner never says no. They say yes, and they figure it out.
Right. You know, well, we can't do this date. Okay, well, what other dates do you have? We go back and forth a little bit. Sometimes we talk on the phone, and I figure it out, and I put them in. That's it. I do them. I mean, and every single one of them has been wonderful. There was only one that it was a man. And I think he just thought he was all that, you know. And I could feel with his voice. He wasn't friendly. He liked to talk about stuff. But anyways, that's the only one out of, Candy will tell me, she'll look how many issues, how many, I think 249. I think maybe you're 249.
Wow.
She's probably going to say to me. So you might be 250 that I've talked to people. And, you know, I was almost, Judy, going to not do the show anymore, because I thought to myself, am I that bad, you know? And then I thought, no, that's not right. But then, maybe last year, I had this girl on my show, and I'm just feeding you this information because I think it applies. We talked, we had a great talk. She loved my voice. She loved talking. Then all of a sudden, I get this email from her, and she said, I wasn't really happy with the radio show because I sent her a link. And I said, I was shocked. She said, I don't like what you said about me. Well, I knew right away what happened. Somebody listened to it and twisted it around somehow. I didn't think it was bad. So I wrote the publicist about her, and he said, oh, my God, let me talk to her. I said, no, don't say a word. Just let it go. I'm just giving you information so you have some background about what this person really is. And, I mean, everybody has loved me. I've never had anybody say that to me, and it really hurt me. And then I thought, well, did I do something wrong? No. I said to myself, you didn't do anything wrong, Natalie. You do it right. You're always kind and loving and considerate. And so that's the only two in all those episodes that I've done that, so I can't say it was a perfect record, but you're perfect anyways.
Yes, it wasn't your stuff, right? I know we have this. I had this discussion this morning, and I was saying to somebody, isn't it amazing? You have 99.9% of your clients or people who love you. Where does your mind go? To the 0.1. And you're going, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong?
Right. I didn't do anything wrong. Look at all that I've done right.
Exactly.
So that point one, get rid of it. Just dump it on the roadside. Don't pay any attention to it.
Differently, I would say pay attention to it this way. Recognize that you're always going to get somebody who cannot take it or who isn't in the space, and love them for showing you that it's okay for them to be there.
That's right.
That's it.
That's exactly right. And I never contacted her again, and I didn't. That was it, but I was shocked.
You never want that, because I'm listening to you, and I so understand that it's that I do my best. What happened?
Yeah. I think somebody listened to it and didn't like something, so they drew that out to her. They pointed it out to her, and that's what I think happened. And because she, I could listen to the playback, and it was wonderful, but I don't, it's okay. I went on. I decided, nope, I'm going to continue on. I'm going to do back to back to back. I was doing two shows a week at one time, and then I dropped back to just one because I'm doing so many things. You know, I have my magazine that I do, and I'm just doing too many things, and I have stars and other things, and I just, you can't base your path on somebody that's done something, and because that's their to-do. That's not mine at all.
And if you have a look at all the greatest people in the world, I mean the greatest leaders, there isn't one who hasn't had at least a bunch of naysayers. They're just there. And all I say is when that happens, they're there to show you where you may have a blind spot or where somebody just needs to be different because something is not being seen. That's all.
Yeah, or they had a bad day.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll chalk it up to something like that, right? So how many people do you work with, I'm sure a lot, that you help them with their blueprint? I mean, it's a long process, is it?
I work with a lot of people, and I can't even tell you how many, just lots. I work with lots of leaders to shift them and to work with their blueprint so that it impacts their careers. I do, as mm-hmm. I've said, a lot of live events. And in the live events, typically it takes about an hour to an hour and a half. The beauty of a live event is this. When I start doing that piece of work, the person I work with isn't the only person getting a piece of work. Often what will happen is at the end of that piece, I'll look at people and say, who wants to work? And always somebody will say, not me. I got my piece of work watching this. So you're getting pieces of work by watching as well as participating. There's another piece which is super interesting, and that is that people are beginning to understand that we sense into each other's systems all the time. This is why when I use somebody to represent someone else, they're often very accurate in their representation. And people will say to me, how is that possible? And I say to them, think about the shootings we've just had. You think about those and you go, why? Because you have mirror neurons, and because we're sensing beings, you're sensing into their system. You can feel that hurt. It's why when we have a big national disaster, an entire country goes into mourning. We're sensing into the systems. And this particular work just shows you how to do that consciously and overtly. It's literally adding another skill set to your bucket.
Well, I mean, I'm listening to so much of this, and it resonates with me big time, especially now. I don't know, when I was really young, I just was kind of a follower. You would never know it talking to me, but I was. I'm so shy. On the radio, it's fine. If I had to speak in front of somebody, I would be a little nervous, but I would have to pretend I was talking on the radio. That's what I'd have to do.
Oh, I love it.
You know, I had a motivational speaker. He's been on twice, and he said, oh, Natalie, come on. He said, I'd be there, and I'd drag you up, and pretty soon you'd find the element, and you'd be standing there blabbering away like you own the place. He said, because I can hear you, and I've talked with enough people, because that's been my fear. Even when I was in school, I was afraid to talk in front of people, you know. But now, you know, he said, you would do it. You would do it. you put on your other shoes and there you'd be. See, so I'm telling you, you could do it. And
so that would be my question. When did you first get afraid of speaking at school? What happened?
When I had to do an oral book report. We had to do, I mean, I did it. You could take your notes up front, and I just didn't, nobody taught me or anybody else in the class, because I was probably in maybe third grade, I don't know, I was really young, how to look to somebody and talk to them. I mean, you know, move your eyes around. I mean, there's a way to do it. I know there is. And I had to do this. Well, the teacher realized, because I could write a really nice book report, but she realized that I wasn't comfy. So one day she called me up to her desk and she said, I know you don't like doing this. And I said, oh, no, I don't. But she said, you did it. And I'm impressed with that, she said. So from now on, when you read your next book, you come up here and tell me about the book. I looked at her. I said, really? She said, yeah, you earned that, you know. And I said, really? She said, yes, really. She was a teacher. I write, everybody loves my writing, okay? But when you had to go, when you were in school, you had to make the capital letters, the two spaces and the lowercase, just half of it and all that, and do it the same way. Well,
right.
Yours truly. There was my creative self coming out. I didn't do it. And she would come back and she'd say, now, you know, this is not what I'm looking for. And I looked at her and I thought, no, I know. I thought to myself, no, I know, but I don't like doing it that way. I like to write the way I like to write when I was little, you know. So she, the next time, we had handwriting, of course, every day as we did our little math and reading and, you know, the simple stuff. She came to me one day at my desk. She said, you know, I had a discussion when she was talking real well with my husband about you. And I thought, uh-oh, this can't be good. Then she said, he asked me why I was so set on you writing a certain way. You know, you're cursive. They didn't call it cursive then. And I couldn't answer him. I said, well, because that's the way we're supposed to do it. He said, but did you ever think that maybe she's out of that box? She's not like the other 20 in the class, she's number 21. She's not like the rest. So she said to me, so I made a decision. I thought, well, she's probably going to fail me for handwriting. She said, I'm going to let you write the way you want. I remember I opened my eyes and I thought, oh, my God, this is going to be fun. And she let
that
me.
That was a wise lady.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. She married a Greek man. Over the weekend, she was Mrs. Horsch on Friday, and when she came back on Monday, she was Mrs. Dopoulos.
Oh, my.
And, you know, third grade, we didn't know what went on. I mean, we just knew that she changed her name. But that lady started me probably to where I could be more creative. My letters are like I'll do, like for Natalie, I do a big capital N, a pretty N, and then I kind of like do the rest of it. It's just my own way, you know? And,
but that's
yeah.
Beautiful. Go back to it, because if you look at your emotional blueprint, what you're saying is, and I don't know what your family history is, but what you're saying is, I was born to do this differently. I was born to have my own voice. I can add to the world by using my own voice. That's what's important. And that's your piece. Your entrepreneur has been itching to come out because it knows that's its path.
Yeah. And that's why I'm probably right now, I'm so comfortable. I feel like I'm in preparation. Many people know me. I mean, I'm not a famous actress, or author or anything like that. No. But my name is known just because of what I've done. And to have something to keep persevering, to keep doing, and you get setbacks and all of that. But down inside, and I've said this, do you really believe of what you're doing? And my answer is
that's
affirmative,
important.
Yes.
Yes.
So you won't stop. You will, you know, you'll jump those hurdles. And like me, you'll open another door and go through. But, you know, I'm very grateful every day, and I talk, you know, Jesus has come to me before God came to me. So I'm very spiritual, and I know, and I thank for my days, my beautiful days, my beautiful family and all that, well, you know. But I really believe inside that everybody has a purpose to do something. And it's not always about self. It's not always about, oh, how can I make my name well known? Or you, even you, Judy. You know, you don't sit there and say, well, what else can I do? I want to be famous. No, I don't want that. I just want to be me. And if I can hold out my hand and help you, I'll do it. And I don't want anything in return.
Yeah,
so,
I think with that it becomes an adventure, right? It's
yes.
You recognize that you're on an adventure. You recognize you've been given a brain. And I think for me it's always about, so how far can I push the boundaries here? And how widely can I reach people so they know they can push their boundaries? That's important stuff.
Yeah, you know, and it's really funny. I never did videos before. I mean, I don't like myself on a video, but I love to video. And I didn't know this until Candy, she's the gal that does my marketing. Well, she said, you want to make a video about what's happened to your account so people know that whatever they get, it's not you. And I thought, oh, geez. So it was raining, and if you go and you look, you'll see it's a video of my porch, and it's raining, and I talk. But you know what happened, Judy? I got hooked.
Oh, I love
I got
it.
Hooked. So then I did another one. And I feed deer at night, and I had bunches of them, and I decided to do that and talk about it. You know, I'm sitting on my porch, and they're all really close to me, and I want people to feel what I'm feeling. And so I think I've opened another door.
I think that's wonderful. So there's another piece, as I listen to you, that of your emotional blueprint, which is keep going. We don't quit. So I don't know where that comes from, but it's there. But the other one is also open another door. What more is possible? So you have great appetite for life. Now, sometimes when we start out with a bumpy go around in our lives, people say, I had a terrible life to begin with. And I always say to them, no, you didn't. You were planting all the seeds that you needed to ignite you into where you are now. You didn't have any terrible. You were just ambitious and industrious.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, I didn't get the guidance that I should have had.
Thank goodness, because
some
that
things
lets
I
you
did,
be you.
But I did. You know what, Judy? I don't think I needed it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Because you didn't get the guidance, you know, most of us go, I didn't get the mom and dad and the white picket fence. Good. If you had that, you might have been super complacent and never gotten to where you are. I had a woman who said to me, I'm a big CEO, no thanks to my jerk of a father. And I said, to wait, not so fast. Let's go and have a look at your jerk of a father, please. So she said, well, when I was about 6 months old and my brother was about a year and a half, he dropped us off on the side of the road with my mother and said, make your own way, and took off. And
oh, my
mom, goodness. Oh, yeah. So mom remarries a very nice person who takes good care of her. They start a business. They have a flourishing business, and she is now the CEO. So I said to her, now let's play rewind. Let's go back. How was your dad, your bio dad, doing at the time? Terribly. He lived in a trailer, and there were drugs, and there were all sorts of things. So I said, good. So if your jerk of a dad had been a sweet dad and kept you there, would you be that CEO right now?
No.
And she went, oh. And I said, yeah, he stepped out so you could step in. Be very careful about what you judge.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you know, my mother probably could have run for, she could have been a politician. She was that strong in the work that she did. She, you know, very much of a leader. But my dad was this gentleman, you know. He's the man that took me to the airport to watch the planes fly. He shared his love for airplanes. Oh, yeah, every Saturday I would go, and I met so many people, and I would walk around this cute little thing, 8 years old, with her little skirt dress on or whatever I had on. Probably thought I owned the place. So I walked around like that. Had everybody, oh, honey, can we get you a soda? Can we get you this? Can we get you? I mean, I had them already. I was schmoozing. but I didn't
know
what
it was. I
was
going to say, so stop right there. Do you realize that right people were already wanting to help you and be a part of your life?
I never thought of it that way, Judy, but that's true.
Yeah.
What can we do for you? And I remember saying to this one man, of course, I had to look up, you know, because it's this little thing. I said, well, can you get me on that plane?
Oh, I love it.
And he said, why? I said, because I want to fly. And I've had in my mind for quite a few years that someday, and I don't know, I mean, it's real strong with me that I'm going to be on a plane and I'm going to have to fly it because there won't be anybody else that can do it. And you know what?
Oh, my goodness.
I'll be able
Isn't
to do it.
Isn't that interesting? Yes. Yes.
I'll be able to do it, and I won't miss a beat. Why? Because I'll have help, and I'll understand, and, yeah.
And you won't panic.
No. Oh, no, I wouldn't panic. Nope.
No.
Nope. Nope. You know, it's just, I mean, I can remember those days, and you don't realize when you're little the things that you do and what an impact it has on your life, but I never thought of it. They were already wanting to help me. Well, what can we get to?
Of course they
were,
yes.
Can we do something?
Yes.
Can we
and
do that? They let me roam anywhere I wanted.
Purely because you were you. And you had another thing that's really important. You had curiosity. And
yes.
You wanted to play with. And because you wanted to play with, they really wanted you to play with them.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And you were also, obviously, by the way, had the gift of receiving, which people don't always understand. We always think it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's not the truth. There is a beautiful art form in people who can receive gratefully. The ones who can make the givers feel like they gave them the jackpot. And so people want to do that for you again and again.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's always been like that. I mean, I didn't realize that until you just said it. But now that I'm thinking you're talking and I'm listening and I think to myself, I'm surrounded with really great people. You know, because I have to go back to these two accounts. I have publicists and authors writing to me, and they said, well, if this would have been you, of course we would have voted for you. I said, no.
Oh, I love it.
I said, no, I'm not running for office, no. But you know, you're right about that. And when I was probably about, it was probably the same year, maybe I was another year down the road, I was playing outside, and I'm compelled to tell you this, and all of us were playing, and a boy, hit me in the head with a rock. By the side of my head, and my head was bleeding. Well, he took off on his bike, and I took off on my bike after him. And my little two-wheeler, I can see me doing this. It was purple. It was like a dark purple, like, you know. And I'm flying past my house, and my mother's friend, she says, where are you going? I'll be right back. And I took off after this boy, who was bigger than me, because I was just a little thing. And he spun out at the end because he forgot that there's a dirt road there. There was all kinds of stones. So he spun out, Judy, fell over. I got off my bike. He got off, and I hit him in the face. He said, what did you do that for? I said, you hit me in the head with a rock. Well, I'm sorry. I said, well, sorry isn't going to cut it. You're going to remember this, and you're going to go back. And I remember telling him, you're going to go back and tell all your little friends there will be no fighting on these blocks around here. There will be no fighting like this. You won't ever do this again. And I said, so go back and tell all your friends what I did, or you won't even tell them what I did because they'll say, well, why didn't you hit her? And tell them no fighting, and that's it. That's the rule. No fighting. No throwing of this. And we had beautiful summers, all of us, from that. And I think what I wanted to do was set a precedent because it was instinct, though, Judy. I didn't think about it. I mean, I didn't really want to bop them one, but I thought, I got to teach him a lesson.
No, but you also weren't about to be as suppressed as you thought you might be. Clearly, you were not going to be put in a box and told to be quiet and suck it up.
No. 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 And You know, and then I went back home, and, oh, my mother was in a state of panic. I had blood running down my face, and her friend said, well, what's the other guy look like? I said, I popped him in the face. I don't know. Maybe I broke his nose for all I know. I don't know, but I hit him.
Oh, I love it.
This little girl just got spunky. No, you're not going to do that, and you're not going to do that to anybody else, I told him. You're not going to do
this. So you had spirit and appetite for life all the time.
Yeah. Except when I got married and then I was suppressed.
And you know, there's always a gift in that, too. I would wonder, what did you get from that? Because we get things from that, even the worst situations.
Right. What did I get?
What gift did you get?
Well, he had Alzheimer's, and he tried to hurt me every day. I kept him home. But I always tell people I stand tall with what I did. I want
there
you to
go.
Know
Grace
that.
Under pressure.
Yes. Oh, yes. And I was all alone. My son worked, my daughter-in-law, everybody was gone. It was just me, you know. I was like, had to fend for myself, and I did. I never got hurt, never broke a bone, nothing. Although it could have happened to me, but it didn't. And I had an understanding. I knew by the look in his eyes that he was going to come after me. I mean, and I stopped. I didn't retaliate. I just stopped. And that's how I got through it.
So you also discovered that you had incredible strength.
Yes. You have to have it. It makes sense, Judy.
It makes
sense,
but we don't always tap into that, and clearly you did. So your emotional blueprint has very much been a one, and I don't know your family history, but has been one of don't quit, don't give up, and also I also hear a lot of optimism and joy, which is there is a great world out there, people. Don't let's waste it.
Exactly. You know, I just, I like people to, I'm always helping. I don't care who you are. In a store, when I was going to a store, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you look like. I don't care who you are. I will lend a helping hand. Reaching something on a top shelf, even though I'm not very tall, I'll find a way. I'll use my voice, and I'll get somebody to help. And, you know, I'm thinking about my goddaughter. She always says to me, because I said to her, you know, I've never really flown very much. What would I do? Oh, she laughed. She says, oh, my God, she should probably be on TV. You get everybody to help you. You would talk to everybody.
There
How do
go.
I get there?
You
Can you help me,
that
please?
Ability.
Yes, she said, you don't ever worry about that, she said. You'll do it. I guess I would.
In other words, you have a voice and you use it for good.
Yes. She said, you get somebody with a little cart that will, I'll take you to your gate where you have to go. Don't worry about it. I'll get you there. And you get there. She said, don't ever worry about that. I said, because I'd have to call you and you'd have to tell me where to go. She says, no, you'll ask and you'll get it.
And
she said, I can't ask, but you can. And she
there
said, there's
go.
Something about, yeah, she said, there's something about you where people want to help. Just exactly what you said.
Yeah, you want to really be aware that's a superpower for you.
Well, you know, and I always know too, Judy, when I don't even have to know. When people are not in my space or around me, they're just not there. I just don't have that. I don't have to deal with people like that. I only deal with all the people that are coming to me are beautiful. Like yourself.
Thank you very much, but that's because that's what you expect. So what you've done, and that's part of emotional DNA, is I said to you earlier, we're great spell masters. What we sell ourselves and what our bodies buy becomes the truth. And so for you, you know the world's a friendly place. You know that you will get what you need and want. You know that you will give plenty. You know that you love people and they love you, and that's the reality.
Yeah, it's true.
And what a beautiful reality. And what you've done is you very smartly stocked your library with very, very healthy systemic language, sayings, sentences, So you have a nice life because you took the time to grow it that way.
Yes, and it's really it's taking off. And, you know, sometimes I'll sit and I'll think to myself, and I talk to my son, gee, I wish I was younger and when I was doing all of this. And then I'll say to him, no, I couldn't have done it when I was younger. You have to experience your growth. You have to take the steps, take the necessary steps to get to another place, and then go to another, and then go to another. And, you know, he's kind of like I am. You know, I'm in the grocery store, and I'll help somebody. And this lady said to me, and I was probably older than her, Judy, but I didn't look at. Of course, I don't look at. And she went to her husband. She says, I think that lady's an angel.
Oh.
Isn't that the sweetest thing? And she came back.
She may
and
have
she
a
says,
point.
She said, why did you want to help me? I said, well, you were reaching for something and couldn't get it. But she said, well, what if you couldn't have gotten it? I said, well, trust me, I would have gotten somebody to get it for us.
That's it. And see, you're not afraid to ask.
No.
And that is in the world and in the universe. You don't ask, you don't get.
Well, yeah, and there's always somebody that's going to help.
Exactly.
They help me.
And what does it say all over the books of wisdom, no matter which religion it is? Ask and you'll receive. And we all go, yeah, that's greedy. No.
No, no. But there has to be something else with it too, Judy, because people ask but they don't receive. Maybe it's the way they're asking.
No, it's also they ask and they don't believe. If you ask and don't believe, you are not going to receive.
True. I had a lady send me some charms that I got to be friends with because I read charms. She sent me Believe and Fearless. She said, that's what you are. And she said, these charms kept falling out of my hand, so I knew they belonged to you. She said, that's what you are. And I said,
I love it.
Yeah, Fearless and Believe. That's what she sent me. And we became friends. I mean, she's an author and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, you know, she said, you can believe it or not. I said, well, I do believe it. I am fearless. I mean, I can go where you can't go because I just know it's going to be okay. But that's part of believing.
That's
she
right.
Said,
you just
she
do
said,
it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You get out of your way and you don't do I believe but. Or I'm
exactly.
asking but.
Don't even use that word.
No.
And if you tried and you fail, well, okay. You tried. You didn't stop. You tried. So try something else. Do something else.
Well,
that's how I am.
It's interesting you say that. I always say to people when they say, doing this work is hard work. And I go, oh, really? Do you play video games? Yes. So what happens when you get to a difficult level and you don't ace it? Well, I do it again. And then? And again? Well, I do it until I get there. Why? Because then I can get to the next level, and that's fun, and I go, life's no different.
Well, you know, and your book can teach people so many things, but just hearing you and dissecting, like for me, you're seeing things, and it's good for people to hear this because, you know, I'll put this out on Twitter, and then Candy will run with it. She's in the room listening and put it everywhere. You know, and I think because they need to know that, you know, I'm a real person, you're a real person. We're both doing what we want to do, what we feel that we need to do, what we love to do. And I really do. I mean, I don't fear anything anymore. I really don't. Mm-mm.
Isn't that nice?
It is a nice feeling. I'm not afraid.
But you work to get there.
And, yeah, I always say to people, and I'll say it at the end of the show, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And, you know, you have to, there's something inside that can help you, but it starts with how you think.
It starts with how you think, and it anchors with how you feel. If those two have to be together. If you think something and you're feeling really bad, that toilet talk becomes your new dungeon. If you're thinking something and you feel really good, that becomes your new wings. And
when I'm feeling
bad,
because every night I have all these deer that come to me, and I feed them. I have three bowls, and I'm putting out water because it's so hot out. I have these deer, and I sat on my porch, and I videoed it. And they never did this before. Finally, they did it. They really trust me. And that is the highlight of the end of my day, right there, doing this for them.
I'm sure.
I turn my porch light on and my outside light, and they know, okay, dinner time, and they come.
I love it.
And there's just something about looking at a herd of deer, when they look at you and they stop and they start to move towards you. You don't move. You just be real quiet. You don't jump at them or nothing. Try to pet. I don't pet them. I don't do anything like that. I'm just, it's on their own time. It's on their time. And now they're stepping towards me because they know, oh, we know who she is. We know she brings us food.
There's something lovely about that, isn't there? There really is. I have that with cats and squirrels, and, oh, I love it. It's so nice.
I have mallards. I have four mallards that come too. Yes, it's called life, Judy. It's just the beauty of it, the life. You know, they have hearts, they have lungs. They're like us. They don't just stand and they don't talk and they don't do what we do, but they're still alive.
Exactly. Oh, no. They're very precious. You know, I grew up in South Africa, and there's quite a lot of game around there. And honestly,
I would love to go there. Oh, my gosh, I would never leave.
Well, if you're privileged enough to stand close to some of those incredible beings, an elephant I got to play with lion cubs and tiger cubs right next to kudu. Oh, it's something, it changes you. It's very beautiful. And
it is, and
you
know, I end up staying up really late. I mean, I sign off and everything. I do everything that I had on my list. And I end up watching all of these videos, and sometimes there'll be a little video on my Instagram. I watch those, and pretty soon I look, and it's 11:30, 12 o'clock. And I just, I have this great feeling. I just can't seem to get enough of it.
I think it's a beautiful, it's also an innocence of sorts. It's just lovely. Really
it is,
lovely.
Judy, and you're the same. You're the same.
Oh,
I hear
you.
It. Well, you are.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm going to listen to you.
I was going to say, so with people, this is the other thing that I think we don't realize. We're remarkable lives. I tell people this all the time. There's no such thing. You're not a train wreck. There's no such thing. All it is you haven't taken the gift, and you haven't pivoted, and you haven't taken your own voice yet. Once you begin to do that, things change. But there is no such thing as a train wreck, and you are a remarkable life when you learn to see it.
I end my day in a beautiful way, and I have a cat. I mean, you know, he's the boss. I mean, he's a Maine Coon. He's a big cat, and he likes to, you know, I mean, that's how they are. Male cats are like that oftentimes. But anyways, one of my authors saw my video, and he wrote to me. He says, you know why they come to you? And I'm reading and reading on, and he said, because they love you. He said they would not come to you if they didn't love you and trust you.
Right.
And he's from India. And he's right. He's I'm very quiet when I go out there. I mean, it's just the end to a beautiful day. It really is. Everybody should find something to end their day on a positive note, with love, kindness, flowers, hearts, whatever, but just because everything else that you felt during the day that maybe caused you trouble, you're not even going to remember it. You don't need to. Oh, I have goosebumps. I love talking to you because you understand. You've taken the time to understand people and to help to guide them along their path and to show them, you know, you're a good person. Keep doing what you're doing. I won't stop until I leave Earth. That's for sure. If I wasn't doing this, I don't know what in the world I'd be doing.
Exactly. There is no point to stopping. There isn't.
No. Absolutely not. You're wonderful. I want to tell everybody about your site. It's Judy Wilkins-Smith. Now, I'm going to connect with you when I get on Instagram. I'm going to connect with you, Judy. But anyways, and your book is Decoding Your Emotional Blueprint. I have it here in my hand. I have the uncorrected proof. Did you know that?
I didn't. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, I got this from Angela. And she wrote by her hand, she said, thank you for your consideration, Natalie. Enjoy. And we have got this rapport now. I have it with many of them that, you know, I'll say, gee, I would really like to get this book, and I'm having a guest at the end of the month. Okay, it's on its way. That's all I ask for. I love to hold books. I love, when I'm talking to the author, I love to look at the cover, and your cover is beautiful, and they must look at it, and it's on Amazon, and I will put it on in my store, my shop. I have a bookstore. I don't make but maybe a penny or two, but I'm doing it for you because I want I want the world to see there are people like you out there. They would never know. Many would never know.
That.
You know, and now when I put it on Twitter, I'll write a little note with it. And they'll listen. They always do. And that's the beauty of it.
And it's trending number one in its genre at the moment.
It is?
It is.
Awesome. Congratulations. That's wonderful. I have a fairy tale that I want to do with my granddaughter. I want her to write the illustrations. She's going to SCAD, which is the Savannah College of Art and Design.
Oh, lovely.
Well, it's a love story, but it's a story where you would relate to it. A 10-year-old could relate to it. It would make them think to believe in things they cannot see. That's what I'm going to do. And that's what I want to push out there. You are being divinely pushed. You are getting divine intervention. You, and people, you know, and I want to start with the little people, the ones that can read or be read to, and they're going to remember that. I mean, I have the illustrations in my head. I just got to get her over here with her iPad, and she's going to draw it. And I have a couple of titles, but I'm not sure what I want to do. But that's one of my dreams, and I'll achieve
what
it somehow.
What a nice adventure.
It's, you know, just not a deep story, but a story that when it ends, you're going to say, yes, I get it. Yes, it can happen for me. Yes, it can.
Exactly. And that's what people need.
Yeah. So, and I certainly know the publicists to get it out there, the publishing houses. I know tons of them.
But that helps.
So they can fight over me, right? No.
Absolutely. No, they don't need to. If you just go and stand in the middle of publicist square, they'll all come running because everybody wants to help you.
Yes. Yes. I won't even have to lift a finger.
Exactly.
Judy, you're wonderful. I've enjoyed this today so much. I'm so grateful that we connected, and I'm so grateful that Angela had the insight to connect us and say, would you like her on your show? I'll always write back and say, yes, yes, yes. I always do that.
Oh, thank you. And it's been lovely to be with you. I enjoyed every minute.
Good. And I'll send you, I'll send her, because I don't have your email address, but I will send her the link to the show so you have it, and you can just put it someplace, and you'll say, okay, I remember this.
I will absolutely remember this.
Oh, you will. You will. You will. And I got a feeling you're going to do something with another book and maybe mention something that I said to you or that we shared, because you're going to find that it's important that people know. You're the one that writes. You're the one that writes all this beautiful stuff. You have an awesome day. Stay cool.
You too.
Okay. Yes.
Take
good
care.
I will. I'm not going out. I'll sit on the porch later on, and that'll be about it. We have a heat advisor here, and it's 95, and I don't know what the heat index is. Pretty high,
oh
way in the hundreds, I know. And that's we're a month early. It's unreal. It's really unreal.
It's crazy.
Well, yeah, but that means the ocean's getting warmer. And, of course, like I said, we have to be careful when the ocean warms up. That's when, from Africa, you know, where the hurricanes start. So
yes.
Gotta be careful. But I'm always,
so
I do my grips and everything.
Careful.
Yeah, got to be careful. Oh, it's between 108 and 112 here.
Oh,
my God.
I thought we had it rough. No, that's crazy.
No, it's not rough. It's wonderful. It's all good. I don't mind. I really don't. I don't mind. So anyways, you have an awesome day, my love, and stay like you are. Don't ever change. And we'll connect, I'm sure, because I'll have Angela connect us.
Okay. Beautiful.
Okay, take care,
take
and I love you so much. And everybody, Believe in things you cannot see. Oh, yes. Believe in things you cannot see, and because they really are there. And now what I'm going to do, because I like to end this day, this show, I should say, on an upbeat, and we are going to play some great music by Gabby Ray, and it's called Free to Love, and you're going to love this, and it's going to make you feel so good. So here we go, and I'll see you next week.
If everyone could be who they were really meant to be, without limitations, discrimination, this world could show all its colors. So get the chip off the shoulder.
Love to all of you. See you next week.